about there. And I remember them coming on a Friday night and staying overnight and then going to meetings at Sheffield on the Saturday, you see, afternoon, and then in the streets, and then Sheffield and in the town hall or wherever they could get at night.
So your mother would put people up before
the mother went with them, yes, I put see, them up on for the night before, and then probably on the Saturday night, and they went home on the Sunday. And I remember there was a woman there, I always remember her name, it was a peculiar name, they called her Ethel Anakin, and she married Philip Snowden.
Oh yes, she knew then.
Yeah, she used to come kind of regularly. And we had another woman that your mother was friendly with as well, Eleanor Barton. She was a councillor at Sheffield first, and then she became an MP.
A cooperative woman.
Yes, she was. Yes, I think.
Cooperative guild.
Yes, now this is a cooperative guild. My father was the first president of this, and that's the agenda for 1920 to 1921.
So they were very much Labour people, were they, your parents?
Oh, I mean, yes, yes.
Your mother and your father?
Yes, definitely. But their parents weren't.
Mother's
father and mother were liberals.
Yes.
But my father's, his father died when he was young. But the rest of the family were all absolutely red hot Labour. I mean, that they really had to be because they'd a struggle.
Mm. And well, what did they do, actually? I mean, there's the hills.
The hill, my father, he was a fitter and turner at Sheffield.
Yes.
So in the First World War, he was on munitions there.
Yes.
And his father was a wire drawer at Wakefield. But my father was victimised at Sheffield. He had to leave Wakefield because he was a trade unionist. And he got a job at Sheffield, and within about half an hour of him getting a job and starting work, someone would come and say, "Do they call you Joe Hill?" And he would say yes, and they'd say, "Well, I'm afraid we haven't got the jobs that we thought we had for you," and finished. So he was out of work for years and years because he was a trade unionist. Same thing happened to him, but that's another generation, you see.
And who was your mother then?
My mother, they called her Mabel Cox before she was married. She lived at Sheffield.
Mm.
And there was a big family of them. But she was the only one in the family who was a revolutionist, you know, went all...
Did she have a job, actually, else? I mean, your mother? Or?
No, I don't know. She did have a job during the First World War.
Yeah.
She worked in the offices of the National Deposit Friendly Society at Sheffield during the First World War, because I was kind of sent out to my grandparents to stay all that time when they were when the raid came, when we were on Sheffield.
Anyway, your mother on the whole just brought up the children, did she?
There's only
your
me.
Father, just you?
Just
then.
Me, yes.
And your father was an active trade unionist?
He was very active, yes, he was a shop steward all his life, right through. In fact, I made a mistake. He lived with me 10 years, he's only been dead about 7 years now, but I made a mistake when he died. I threw his union cards away.
No,
I
didn't.
I did. He had them from about 1875, when he joined as an apprentice, right through till he died about 1968.
Mm.
Every year, union cards.
You get to see him, I'll show you.
Mm.
Mm. So they were very much a Labour family.
Oh, definitely. Yes, we all are.
Yeah.
We all are. We always have been. We can't be. I don't know whether you are or not, but we are, and you can't be anything else.
Yes, I usually vote Labour.
I know that, but I mean, we've in our time, apart from my mother, in our time, we've had a terrific struggle with unemployment and that when we lived in Yorkshire. So that it just makes you that, whether you want to be or not.
Yes,
it does.
So anyway, your mother stayed at home then, even though she only had one daughter to look after.
Yes,
because I suppose women did then in those days, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They didn't go out to work then.
Yeah.
I think her younger sisters went out to work.
Yes.
But,
in fact, if you were a husband and your wife went out to work, you were rather frowned on. At least if you wanted to be a respectable man, you didn't let your wife go out to work, did you?
No.
Is that right?
No, that's about
it. Oh, no, you didn't do that. There were only the poor, really poor women in our young life went out to work charing and that, didn't they? That's all for the wealthy class, just to make that extra bit of money up.
But if you were respectable, you wouldn't
do that
at all.
No. Women had no place in industry until the war,
mm-hmm.
didn't until the last war.
The First World War, they came into the wrong when they started wearing overalls and caps on their heads, and then they had long hair then. And that was the first time they ever had the hair cut, because it got in the machinery and scalped them, didn't it? And my dad talk about it. When you get a turn, pitcher and turner and a lathe going like mad and you get long hair in it, it's just scalped them.
That's right.
So that was when they first started having their hair cut, and then they went into overalls, which that was the First World War. Then you got the Land Army in the First World War. They were in trousers, so therefore you got me.
But your mother, you say, went into an office then, did she?
She was in an office in the First World War.
She was an educated woman, was she? I mean,
not really. No, she just did office work. She wasn't. No, she wasn't educated. Only
she was bright though.
She wasn't an idiot. I had an uncle at Oxford who went to Oxford.
Mm.
Uncle Frank Cox went to Oxford University.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she was a...
And he won his scholarship through night school, just going to night school then. There wasn't the education that is for children now, you see.
So, what did your mother do with her time then, if she was looking after you?
She did some really good stuff.
How did she spend her time?
She just did the same as I do. She just kind of caused trouble everywhere. There had to be trouble called. I remember one time we didn't get our... Something happened about the dustbins where we lived, and she went down to the town hall and took a lot more women with her, and she did some ridiculous things, which I do know.
She's a rebel, wasn't she?
Yeah, definitely.
Not just about the women's movement, but...
No, everything else. Right. Yes, she did.
What's she
mean? Mm, and,
she was involved in the cooperative movement.
Yes, she was. They formed the cooperative, they formed the Labour Party, and I've got my dad's diary as well. I fetched all these out yesterday for you.
Your childhood, I mean, how did your mother behave in the house, that sort of thing?
Oh, she was a fanatic about house cleaning and keeping things up to date, not like me.
Was she really?
Yes, she was. And
did she do it herself? Or did you have anyone to help?
No, she couldn't afford anyone to help her. The only thing that I regret, that I have against a woman... Mm. Probably in those days, we've got modern equipment now, you can get through a house quicker now. But you see, those days, you'd only say the washing, for instance, you'd only the rubbing board and a peggy tub and an old-fashioned manual, things like that. But the only thing was, it meant being an only one, I was left.
Mm.
Kind of left at weekends and left with my father and left with another friend or left with my husband's sister who I made friends with at that time. And I vowed then when I was only about, I think, 10 years of age, if ever I got married, I would wait till I got older before I got involved in anything enthusiastic that needed to take you out where you had to go out to meetings, you see.
Mm.
I mean, my job in the Owners Brigade people just come for you when they like the old lady next door, but once she fell and broke her nose last Monday. Well, you just go out... I pass at any time, and you don't go away and stay away for meetings all over the show. And I've thought, well, I won't do that.
So your mother and father were quite often out at meetings?
Oh, yes, they were out, a terrific amount at meetings. I don't know where they ever went to, but I know they were out, and I thought, then I shan't do this until I get my family, if I have one, grown up.
Mm.
But she was a very, very strict woman. She was strict with me, terribly strict. Very strict. Typical suffragette. She was, definitely.
You weren't allowed to play around mess her around?
No, she was really very strict.
Mm.
And I think I must have been a mistake as well. I was rough. I lived for a long while with about six aunties. During the First World War, you see, with my mother working, I lived with my grandmother and had about six young aunties round about me. And they wanted me to be brought up as a lady, which I'm anything but. I mean, I was a mistake. I should have been a boy to start off with. And I was the first grandchild for 12 years, and they had the idea of making me into a... but they never succeeded.
Refining.
I think my mother must have spent nights and nights crying about me, thinking, well, what had she kind of produced? But I never was. I'm not the... delicate.
But you think she would have liked you to be a delicate lady type, would you?
I think the other sisters would have done, or all together, they tried their best to bring me up from, you know. I mean, I was dressed fantastic. I had clothes that I went to, the best clothes that I wore on a Sunday. And then I had clothes that I wore on a Sunday one year, I took for Saturdays the next year. Mm. And then after that, they came for weekday clothes. Mm. And when we used to come here for our holidays every year with me, with all the rest of the family. My grandmother came, and all the rest of the family. And I wasn't allowed to play on the sands on a Sunday when we came. We came on the Saturday, but I wasn't allowed on the sands until Monday.
To keep your clothes.
To keep me, yes, I was kept clean and walked up and down the prom, you see, which you can imagine what it would be like for a child. I mean, that thing isn't done at all now, is it? You just go mad every day now. But you know, one day
what
from
about
another.
Your mother's attitude to clothes? Was she fond of clothes?
No, she wasn't. She wasn't a clothes fanatic at all. She just dressed to keep her covered, I think.
Mm. Mm. She wasn't in any way vain.
No, not at all. The other sister was. There was one sister who lived here who I've been looking after since I came to live here till she died. And she was a very, very fancy dressed woman. She liked everything just so. But my mother didn't, and the other sisters didn't. They were very down to earth. Mm. Very down to earth.
So where did she get all this sort of the suffrage business from? I mean, is she a fighter for women in the family as well? Is she always pushing your father along?
No. My father was a very quiet little man, as opposed to my mother. But they agreed. They didn't fight on anything. They agreed on everything. He was very, very quiet. But she wasn't a domineering woman that way. She didn't domineer him in any way.
Yes, I see. They just agreed on that this was desirable.
Yes,
you know,
yes. They agreed on the political situation and things like that. Oh, yes.
So do you know when they first went into Labour politics, really? Was it before you were born?
I should think, it would be before, yes. I know they used to belong to the Labour Party at Tinsley, where his mother and father lived.
Mm.
And then his mother and father was raked into the cooperative movement, cooperative guild.
Mm.
And my father was the first president, and his mother was the first secretary.
That was in 1921?
That was about 1920, yes, 21.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there was the Labour Party formed after that. I remember them joining the Labour Party after that with a chap called Mr. Lokes, didn't he? Lived in St. Lawrence Road.
Because one of the interesting things, I mean, you was telling me about this, but my feeling is that people vote Labour now quite a lot, but there's not that whole life, Labour life.
They don't know what it's about, do they?
Well, I mean, they don't sort of move in Labour circles for all their leisure time and that sort of thing.
No.
They don't go to Labour clubs and live being Labour. Do you know what I mean?
No, yes, I know what you mean. Another thing that we found, both of us have found, have altered, is the cooperative movement. Now, when we first remember the Cooperative Society, the CWS, they made all their own furniture, and all their own things they sold in the shops were all CWS products. They had their own tea plantations. They everything was CWS.
Mm.
And even since I've been here, we haven't got a cooperative in Cleethorpes now, but when I used to send my order in, if they sent me anything, a Birch custard powders, or anything of another product, I used to send it back and put CWS, please. And then every now and again, at the top of the page, I used to always put CWS goods, please.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I send them back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were in the Cooperative Society for the principle of the thing,
mm-hmm.
which was then trade union labour.
Yeah.
You see, I had an uncle who worked at the Cabinet Works at Pilar, and they turned some of the finest furniture that was ever turned out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, the cooperative, you can look in the window, you find Hoover washing machines and
it's just another
it's anything
like
now.
Other.
Yes, now we didn't agree with that.
No.
It's slowly turned over, the directors are all, they're not men and women who are out for the principle of the thing, which we thought was the principle of the thing. The same as when we used to buy tokens for Spain.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it was the cooperative who sold tokens for Spain when the Spanish war was on. We used to buy one every week on our order. A sixpenny one. We could ill afford it, but we thought we were, well, we did, we thought we were doing good for the people of Spain.
What about religion, Mrs. Downs? What about your mother and father's religion? Were they nonconformists?
They were Baptists.
Baptists,
yes.
Really?
Yes, my mother was a very strong Baptist, and my father. Yeah. But we're not.
Yes.
We haven't any religion, really.
It's quite common for nonconformists to be labour.
Yes, yes, it is. Yes, yeah. you find them, they just work like that, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yes.
So your mother and your father were both Baptist?
They were both Baptist, yes. Yes. They were both.
They were both religious folks, weren't they?
Yeah, they were all religious, all the family. Well, that's another thing that I had against it. That's another thing I kicked against as a child. Because I was taken every Sunday morning to chapel with a crowd of aunties, dressed up like a dog's dinner. And in the afternoon I went to Sunday school, and in the evening I went to chapel. Sat for 12 years, as you might say, sat among 9 adults in a pew on our own, you know, Cox's pew, I think it was about the second from the front. And I was the only child brought up amongst adults, which didn't agree with me at all, especially being dressed up all day Sunday. I kicked against religion right from the very beginning.
And you couldn't get on the beach like you would have liked to
do? No, and I never did on the Sunday when we came here. No, any holiday.
There wasn't a beach where she lived.
No, I know, but when we used to come for our holidays, we came on the Saturday, but I wasn't allowed to go playing on the beach until Monday.
So did your father help in the house at all? I suppose men didn't.
No, they didn't in those days. Oh, no, they didn't. No, my mother did everything. She did the washing, and we had a fairly big house at Tinsley, hadn't we?
Yes.
It's the same with your mother. There was 8 in their family.
Was she good with money?
Yes, she was. That she was. She taught everybody how to keep house, didn't she, my mother? She did. She taught you how to make about 2 slices of bread, make a bread pudding and all things like that. She was very, very economical.
But not me.
No, not me.
There's a difference, isn't
there? Yes. Oh, she was very. Of course, she was in service, a young life, you see, at private service.
Was she really?
To getting married, which does help.
Mm.
But, of course, their money was being spent then. But after she got married, she was very, very careful. But she was. And I've inherited that as well.
What about school then, Mrs. Downs? Did they have ideas about education? Or did you just go to the local board school or what?
I went to an ordinary board school at Sheffield, Tinsley. It's a council school. We lived next door to it.
Mm.
And he went to a church school, which was only just an ordinary education school, wasn't it? It was nothing private. We didn't go to private ones.
No.
And I left at about 13, I think. I know I didn't stay long enough to kind of carry me any education, or you didn't in those days.
Yeah.
Because those are the things that we're regretting now and thereby trying to catch up on. We're going to adult education, you see. You miss it.
But was your mother keen on, were your parents keen on education?
Oh, yes, very keen.
Mm-hmm. You were 14, not 13.
Would I? Well, I left a long while before I should have done because we went to live at Castleford.
They lived at Tinsley, did they, all their married life?
Near Sheffield, right? Yes.
Near Sheffield?
Yes.
And then in the Sheffield district, yes.
My father went as a fitter at Glasholton Colliery, which is a big colliery in Castleford, which is a colliery district.
I don't know where it is.
That's near Leeds.
Yeah, I see.
Yes.
It's 3.5 miles north of
Pontefract. I see. So when did he move there then?
About 1925.
Yes.
This starts in 1913 at Mexborough, then in a shop.
Yes.
And he worked at Netherby Colliery then when there was a big explosion in 1912.
Oh, yes, I heard about that, yes.
He was actually working.
He was working that night, yeah, wasn't he?
Went down.
Mm. Did he? Mm. Yes.
Can you only
hear? He transferred from Kedby Colliery to Netherby.
Yes, what did they look like? Your mother was quite a handsome looking woman.
She was, yes, she was. Yeah,
good big bright eyes.
Mm, yes. My father was, even up to dying. He was out the day before he died.
Was he?
The right little ginger-haired man, my father.
Was he?
Red hair. Mm.
So they're quite a handsome pair, and they're very active in local life.
What
sort of things did they do? Labour Party things, really?
They're all Labour Party, yes. They were all Labour and Cooperative Guild.
Yeah.
Yes. Because this syllabus, you see, takes you right through for a full year. There's something every night.
He was the president,
you see.
Yes.
Mr. Beard, I remember him, was the vice president. Hodgkinson and Mr. Marples and then were the committee.
Yes.
And every week they had something to talk about. Theatre and education, cooperative insurance, the industrial spy system by Mr. Brown, Mr. Lockwood, international corporation, and socialism and science by Mr. Rollins, and gardening, Mr. Barlow. I remember him coming. I remember him
so
coming
they had
down.
Lectures, really, once Talks a week.
Every week, yes. And then if anybody had any grievances about the council, anything wrong in the council, they sent a little deputation down to the council to deal with it, kind of thing.
But they only met once a week?
They met once a week, yes.
Then did they have social?
Every Wednesday at 7:30, yes. And it was a shilling a year to join.
And your parents both went along?
They were both there, yes, they were both members. It was a mixed one, mixed guild.
Yes.
And this was the Tinsley Men's Guild, but eventually there were enough women to have a mixed guild after that.
I see. So then, what's the connection with the shops then? I don't quite understand it. I mean, is it connected with the co-op shops at all?
Yes, it was.
I see.
It was connected.
It's customers, is it? It's co-op.
Yes, no, it was connected with the co-op shop, because if you had any grievances with any managers, you went, took a deputation and reported them to the head office and things like that.
I see.
And in the First World War, things weren't rationed as they were in this last war. And women who were well off, as opposed to us, and were well in with the manager, kept coming to the cooperative shop, the little local shop, village shop, like ours might be here, and getting extra things, you see. And of course, someone found out and reported it to the guild, and they sent a deputation and kind of stopped this woman or scratch her. I remember one woman coming for that honey.
Yeah.
You remember, they used to say it was beautiful honey. We've never seen any since, have we? There were blocks of honey used to come. You don't remember, you won't remember seeing lard sold like that, will you?
No.
Or margarine. But they used to send blocks as big as that fireplace of honey from somewhere, and it was solid, but it was a lovely flavour. And this woman kept getting, she was friendly with the manager, and she kept getting, coming down and getting so much of this honey. Well, one of the assistants.
More than a share, right?
Yes, more than a share, because she hadn't ration books then.
No.
And one of the assistants happened to mention it, kind of let it drop that this woman had 3.5 pounds of honey this week, and she was only entitled to one. So we didn't sort her out, but they sorted the manager out in no uncertain manner. I remember that quite well.
So really, you had your social life round the Labour Party to some extent.
Yes, we did. Yes.
And Labour Party in court.
Yes, of course there wasn't much more then. There wasn't. There was only your chapel and your church activities then. There weren't all the social things there are now.
No.
You see, I mean now, and evening now, you can do. The youngsters now can do anything, can't they?
They can watch television for one thing.
Well, you can. You couldn't do that, no. But apart from that, there are so many other activities. I mean, there are all your clubs open, and you.
A woman can go into a pub now, she couldn't then, see.
You see, you've all your bingo and all that lot right now.
A woman couldn't go into a club except when it was a ladies' room. And her husband took her, a man friend took her in.
Oh, yes.
You wouldn't let a woman in a bar.
No, you wouldn't do that.
Yes.
I don't know.
But you say you were then left with aunts and things. You weren't taken along to these meetings as a young girl.
I did go to the meetings. Yes, but I didn't really. I had to go because I'd be left at home by myself. So that's one reason that I had against, kind of kicking against it. I thought, well, I'll never do this when I get grown up. I'll stay at home with my family, which of course I have done. He's been away on bomb repair work in the last war and not been home all that long, really, according to the length of time we've been married. And I've just stayed at home and brought the family up and did what I could here. But the same thing happened to me, because I've been the kind of beginning of about three different organisations that are going like mad now, and only through force of having to do something at the last minute kind of thing.
You think you get that from both your parents?
Oh, definitely. Not from my mother. Not my father. My father was a quiet little man. Very determined, though. Wasn't he? He was a determined little chap, but he wouldn't... It wouldn't go and cause trouble about anything.
So what sort of things did your mother cause trouble about, apart from the women thing?
Well, I can't think of much more, really.
I mean, she in the co-op, she'd be an active person.
She was certainly active. Everybody used to come and say, "Whistle, go and tell Mrs. Hill," and that did it. But she was a domineering woman, very...
Not domineering in the family?
Not in the family at all, no, not in the family, only with me, not with the father.
No.
But she, all the family are alike, aren't they? Mm. All her side of the family are very, very...
authoritative.
Yes, very...
When they speak it, that's it.
Yes, they think it's right. Mother's the same.
So her neighbours would come to her, if they had anything wrong?
Yes.
They'd come to her and sort it out?
They did, yes.
They would sort it out.
Yes, they would sort it out. My father then at that time used to be speaking at street corners at Attercliffe, Sheffield, which was a little, the next little kind of village to Tinsley, part of Sheffield. He used to cart a soapbox round with him and stand talking at the street corners there.
For Labour.
He had a friend called Harry Sykes, who eventually finished up as a councillor in London. And at that time, the Labour Party hadn't much money, and there wasn't a big membership, and it was kind of an underground thing. You had to be careful, kind of.
Yeah.
If you said you belonged to it, you had to be careful.
Mm. But, like belonging to a communist party, no?
Yes, I can see that.
But the money came in from wealthy people who had to be kept quiet. No, they sent the money in when the Labour Party was short of money, only their names happened to be mentioned, you see.
Mm.
And I've heard my dad talk about it many times, going to Lord somebody's house and they'd give them a cheque for about £20, which would see him throughout the next 6 months, and only on condition that his name wasn't mentioned. Just sympathisers who wanted to help with him.
Did your mother, did both your parents stay quite firm Baptists all their life, or did they lose their faith after a bit?
Well, when we went to live at Castleford, there wasn't a Baptist chapel there, and they wouldn't go to church.
I see.
Because they didn't like the church service.
Mm.
And apart from that, my mother finished up as an invalid. Mm. She had asthma and bronchitis. She died at 47.
Did she really?
Yes. And my dad just died 6 years ago at 92.
My mother died at 47.
Yes, she did, and your father just after.
That's very young to die.
Yes.
My father was 51.
Yes. They died within 12 months of each other, his mother and father.
Was she a great person for sticking up for women all her life?
Yes. All her life, yes, she... She was.
Mm.
She certainly was. And she did the same as we do. She'd take people in who were turned out of the homes for so long they'd come and stay with us. Nearly the same as we do now. We've had scores of people stayed here. We've never seen them since, never saw them before, but they've been stranded and they've just come and stayed with them, haven't they? Then gone.
So she'd take people into the house?
Yes. I remember two or three people coming when their husbands have turned them out and they've come and said, what have I had to do? She said, well, go fetch some clothes and come and stay here till you get it sorted out. She was very forceful. I remember her fetching me from school one day. We used to take, my father worked at Adfields as a fitter, which was just at the end of the street. And at 5 to 12 or 10 to 12 every day at that time, the children in the school used to go home, a bell used to ring, and that meant that there were dinner girls had to go. And you went home and you fetched a basin wrapped up in a red cloth to your father, a hot dinner down at the works. Well, I was a dinner girl. And one day I'd done something I shouldn't have done at school. I hate at school, always hate at school. And the teacher was Miss Woodcock, who was a friend of my mother's, and she kept me in. But at 12 o'clock, before 12 o'clock, we lived next door to the school in the next house. Before 12 o'clock, my mother came into the classroom and looked all round the classroom for me. Stood in front, straight through the door, I can see her now. Straight in and stood in front of the class and looked round for me and she said, Connie, go take your father's dinner. Well, Miss Woodcock had told me to stay in. I didn't know what to do. And all she said was, go on, take your father's dinner's on the table, go and take it. So of course I had to take it. So what happened between Miss Woodcock and my mother after that, I never did know, but I'd never forget her coming in that day.
All the eldest children took their father's dinner
to them. Yes, and then they were back home again then in time for their own dinner at home, you see, but they gave them...
No school meals and no canteen.
No, there was nothing there. No school meals then. Mm. No, nothing.
Mm.
No, they were good old days.
Mm.
I tell you what they did after the First World War. I don't know just who it was in school, but they bought all the small pair of spare boots from the army, small boots, and sold them to kids.
You always had shoes on your feet.
I was always well looked after, being an only one, and having a family at the back of me where there was no other children for 12 years, you see. I was the only grandchild for 12 years. So all the aunties kind of doted on me, which I didn't agree with at all. It was definitely against my principle all the time. I kicked against it all the time.
But why were you the only one, actually, Mrs. Dale? Do you think your parents decided they weren't going to have a large family?
I think I was a mistake.
Were you really?
I've always thought so.
Pardon? You think they didn't want any?
Oh, I'm certain they didn't want any children. Then when I turned out to be a kind of a misunderstood I think that upset more than ever, didn't it?
I think that's how it was.
We've always said so.
That's very unusual in those days not to have any children, was it?
Yes, it was. The other grandparents had big families, didn't they?
Yeah.
But none of them have had big families, have they? Auntie Ethel didn't have any.
Yeah.
And Ida only had the two girls. Yeah. And Frances only had the two girls. But I think I'm nearly certain. My young life, I can't say I had an unhappy young life. I had everything I wanted.
Mm.
I was well looked after because my father was earning good money as a foreman in the First World War, over about 500 girls at Sheffield during the war, and he was earning good money. We got a comfortable house and everything I wanted I could have, but I hadn't got the I had no other children to play with. I had no cousins, I had nobody. And I had a mother who, I always said she never understood me because I was misunderstood. I was misunderstood all my life.
Did she try?
I don't think she ever tried myself. I looked after her the rest of my life from being about 17, ruined my life from being about 16 up to about 19 till we got married, 20. I just left my job at the Women's and Children's Hospital and came home and looked after her, and of course that.
She was ill by that time?
All the time, yes. She had asthma and bronchitis.
I see.
So I thought, well, I'll get it out of my system in the St John Ambulance Brigade, which I have done.
Mm.
That's finished now.
How did she get on with you then, Mr. Daniels? I mean, did you...
She thought I was all right.
Did she?
Oh, yes, she's not against me.
Mm.
I taught her how to play cribs and...
She used to wait for him coming home at night.
Yeah, he didn't play cricket. It was something that occupied her mind, and she had a good mind, see. And,
yeah.
Oh, she was
and cricket made her think, you know.
I see, yes.
And
it was just that she couldn't move about with having asthma.
If she could get me playing cricket, that stopped us going out. She didn't want to stop us going out, but... She felt lonely if everybody went out.
Well,
your father never went out, did he?
No, he stayed with her.
Your father wasn't such a sharp minded person then. I mean, he was
quick as an eel, my dad.
Was he?
Oh, yes, quick as lightning. He was till the day before he died.
Yes,
was he really?
Yes, very quick.
But she liked somebody else there as well then?
Yes, she was. I think her illness made her hang on to people, you know, because we were courted for years. And we never went out to the pictures, only every other Saturday night, alternate Saturday night, because my father was working on nights the other Saturday night, so we had to stay in. But the night that we went to the pictures, we got to the stage and we had to call for the doctor as we came home, because she got an attack of asthma when we got home.
Yes, yeah.
And we found out after, only a month or two before she died, that it was nervous asthma she had. And she could have stopped herself having it. She thought too much of herself. She felt lost when there was no one there, and therefore she had an attack, you see.
I see.
I never remember going away.
It was psychological in a
way. Yes, it was, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. We realised that after. Yes, she stopped me going away.
She had asthma, you didn't go out.
Yes. She could have an attack if I said I was going away for the weekend.
She always did.
Yes, she always did. I had the police used to come and fetch me back on the Sunday, and I'd only got there on the Saturday. But
what is she? Did she? Was she interested in your career at all? I suppose you didn't have a career.
No, I didn't have a career. I never did
women
anything.
Didn't,
no,
anyway,
no. So. I just helped in the newspaper shop. My grandfather had a newsagent shop at Mexborough, and I helped him there from leaving school up to going to live in Castleford.
Mm-hmm.
I helped there taking papers out at night. The Sheffield
Was she a reader?
Yes, she was. Educated that way, very well educated. And clever with her fingers. She was marvellous with that embroidery and crocheting and knitting. And she, fantastic, wasn't she?
And she never wasted a thing, did she?
No, she didn't waste a thing, no.
But she was, did she read some heavy books or labour books?
I think she did when she was younger, and I think that's what made her interested in these things, you see.
Yes.
And,
WEA, did she go to WEA, or did she
No, 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 I don't think there was that then, was there?
I think it started between them.
Did it about then? Mm.
Yeah.
I know the uncle who lived at Oxford, well, Carlton, just outside Nottingham, he was put up for council there, and he went to evening classes, and then from there won a scholarship at
Ruskin,
yes. And he was very clever. If he'd had a decent wife, he had a wife who just spent all his money and got him into debt, and that stopped him getting on. It was brilliant, was Frank Cox.
Did your mother speak in meetings and things as well?
Yes. Oh, yes, she was a good speaker at meetings. Yeah. I think that's why she went with the women at the weekend. I've put two and two together since, as the chairman.
I see.
You know, how you have religious people have visiting ministers, don't they? And they stay the weekend, and the person who they stay with is usually on the platform with them.
I see, so
she'd
do that with the women.
Yes, that's right, yes. I don't remember going out up to Sheffield when the elections were on. We used to have to walk it about 4 or 5 miles to Sheffield to find out who'd got in, you know, and hilarious do's there, everybody shaking hands with one another. And I remember another one MP, very, very well remember him, he was the Minister for Agriculture, Tom Williams, he was the Minister for Don Valley. Mm-hmm. Ever such a nice chap he was.
So you're really right in the thick of things in Labour in Sheffield?
We were. Well, it was. It always has been a strong Labour.
Yes.
Stronghold in Sheffield, but it we were at that time.
But you reacted against your mother on some things, but not on Labour, actually.
I think you brought up you in a household. I think you need to have a very strong will to break away to another political. Reason, haven't you?
Oh yes, but if you broke away, you said to yourself you not leave your children like you.
No, I didn't. No, I made my resolution
but
years ago.
But stuck to Labour.
Oh yes, definitely yes. Well, we couldn't do anything else.
In fact, one of the daughters secretary of
the local Labour. Yes, my eldest daughter's the secretary of this local Labour. And she's a health visitor.
There are Labour folks and the law of vote.
Yes.
Oh yes,
they put them out.
My father used to come back to vote. He used to come back to vote wherever he was working. If he was a plasterer, therefore he was a journeyman plasterer. He was working all over for different contractors. But wherever when the elections came on, wherever he was, he came home for the day to vote.
Did he really?
Always, yes. I've gone around collecting people in cars. Still do go around and collect all the crippled and invalids and things like that. Must go and vote.
No, we still do.
We still do, yes.
Still go and rake them out.
Well, we're going to a tea on Tuesday for the Pensioners Federation, because we've been joined that for about 12 years now, before being pensioners, haven't we? Old Age Pensioners Federation, which is a Labour... it's Labour views, you know, going to Parliament to try and get extra pension for...
So did your parents ever go into local government or anything
no.
like that? They kept below
they
that.
They just kept, yes, yes.
I see. They were just sort of party workers.
That's right, yes, that's right.
They were very, very keen, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my life was mostly in trade union life.
Yes, your father was a trade unionist as well.
Oh, definitely. He was a shop steward nearly all his life.
Was he really? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. There is a difference, isn't it, now? I mean, people don't live Labour like they
do. No, they don't. No, the whole thing's altered. It definitely has altered. It has. I wonder if I used to think at one time, especially the trade unionists as well. I used to think I've said to him many a time, it's because probably they haven't. They're so well off now, our young people, that they haven't anything to fight for.
Mm.
But yet they're still going to have to fight.
Mm.
They will have to have something to fight for, because they're not going to be able to live any longer, much longer, are they, the way we're going on?
No.
See, I have a young friend across the road there. She's been the secretary of for the education authorities here for years. Clever young lass. She didn't go to university, but she's brilliant, is Barbara. And now her job's hanging in the balance. Well, they've got a family. Her husband's in the youth employment office. But if she finishes her job, they've lived to such a high standard that...
Yeah, they can't keep it up.
She can't possibly keep it up now. So now she's beginning to worry, because her wages pay for the mortgage, the holidays, and the central heating, which is about 80-some pound a quarter for gas. Well, she says, I can't manage. I shan't be able to manage if I lose my job. So they're going to have to fight again for things.
But your father kept this diary, didn't he? I mean, was he systematic like that?
Oh,
was
yes.
Well organised?
Yeah,
that?
Yes, he was. I've got another little diary upstairs.
Have you really?
I found another book as well, look. The Labour Church hymn book. The Church of the...
Oh, is England
the Labour. Yes, but there's some absolutely fantastic words to these. Yeah. These old hymns.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's valuable. That sort of thing has to get thrown away. So do look after them.
1 and 6 it was. Yes, well, I do look after them.
Yes.
I remember Stafford Cripps when we lived at Eltham. I lived at
You lived at Eltham.
Yeah. I remember Stafford Cripps, who was a teacher at our Sunday school.
Did he really?
Socialist Sunday school at Eltham.
Really? While you were a child?
Yes, well, I was only a very young man, teenager.
What was he like as a teacher?
Oh, he was a good teacher. I didn't often go, but my younger brothers did. And sisters. He was quite a remarkable chap, was Stafford Cripps.
Oh, he certainly was. Very intelligent.
Oh, very intelligent.
Sharp mind, yes.
But he was wholeheartedly in the socialist Sunday school movement.
What was a socialist Sunday school like? What happened? And was it just like another Sunday school?
Yeah, just like another Sunday school. Only the some hymns were not the ordinary hymns. There were hymns that had been written for socialist Sunday school with a political angle on them, you know. I can't offhand remember them, but...
You'd have quite a lot of singing, would you? And then what would there be? What would you read? You'd read out of some socialist books,
yeah.
I suppose.
He read out of the Bible, and it gave you a different version of it, you know. Gave you a working class version of the stories of the Bible.
Yes, yes.
Hey, you were very clever.
Where did you meet then, Mr. Dales?
Stafford Cripps.
No, where did you meet?
Oh, we met at a socialist Sunday school at Well Hall. That's part of Woolwich.
Is that a sort of socialist hall or what?
It was a socialist hall.
I see.
A socialist Sunday school.
Yes, yes. So they had all the social life, from church to everything else, is neighbour in a way.
It was, yes, yes. It was in her family, and it was in my family.
Was it really?
Yes, yeah. My father was professionally, he was a soldier, but he got wounded badly in the First World War, and he died at 51. He was a sergeant major, and he came home badly wounded. My mother was a born cripple, she died about a couple of years after him, because there were 8 kids, see. And she lost the will to live, you know. Didn't want to struggle, and it was a struggle, because things weren't organised like they are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the little black books up in the false room. We've made another room up there in the false room.
Yes.
But this is a part, just at the back end of it, had little diary with the tea. Yeah, 19...
He carried it on all through his life?
Oh yes, right up to just before he died, McMahon.
Did your mother suggest that you should go into St John's Airborne?
No.
Or was it your own idea?
No, I started as a cadet in 1925.
Did you really?
Well, just after being a cadet, Pontefract. Yes. My mother went with me to the first night school. We joined at night school together at Mexborough. My mother and I, because she'd nothing much to do at nights, and I was about 16 years of age, and we went to night school to this first aid class. And the woman who was teaching us first aid, She got a British Empire medal for being assisting in the Denneby explosion at pit at Denneby.
Mm.
Mrs. Yeats was a marvellous woman. And then
so
after that, my mother.
You off, really?
Yes, my mother finished then, like, she didn't go anymore, and I carried on from there. And
but she liked the idea of your doing it.
Oh, yes, yes. If I hadn't been an only one, there again, you see, it hits back.
Mm.
If I hadn't been an only one, I could have carried on with my career as I wanted to. Of course, my daughter's carried on.
What, as a nurse?
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, I did 18 months, 2 years at the Women's and Children's Hospital at from 17 to 19, because you couldn't do your SRN, you couldn't go and do general training then until you were 21.
Mm.
So I had to wait until I was 21.
Mm.
Well, now they've reduced it. Now you can go as a cadet nurse now at 16 and stay in nursing all your life.
You mentioned some interesting things in your letter, which I meant to ask you about the health, the child welfare thing. You said... I was the first person to attend a clinic for antenatal advice.
Oh, I was. That was interesting.
tell me about that.
Telling Barbara about that last night.
I was telling
Barbara
about that, yeah.
Tell me about that.
When I was expecting my first child, there wasn't an antenatal clinic. There wasn't such a thing. It was thought about in cities and towns and that, but not in villages like where we lived. In Wakefield.
Wakefield.
No, near Wakefield. Wakefield was the nearest town. Yes, it was, but we weren't a town then, a proper town.
I see.
And I went down, I'd read books and I thought, well, you should do something about this. So I went down to the antenatal clinic, which was the baby clinic then, and walked in among all the women, and this nurse came to me, Nurse Tate. She was a very great friend of mine after. I used to help at the clinic after that for years. But up to then, I didn't know a soul, and she said, "Where's your baby? Will you fetch it in and let's have it weighed?" I said, "I haven't got one yet." And she said, "Well, what have you come for?" I said, "I've come for antenatal treatment, antenatal care." And she said, "Oh, my goodness." She says, "Well, it's taken us all these years to get baby clinics and get mothers to bring the babies when they're born, never mind antenatal. We haven't one." I said, "Well, let's get one, let's form one." So she took me into a doctor who was Dr. Stevens, a young lady doctor. I was friends with her for years. She was a smashing young woman. And she said, "What have you come for? Where's your baby?" I said, "I haven't got it. I've come for antenatal." She said, "We haven't got an antenatal clinic." I said, "Where is the one?" She said, "Well, wait a minute." And she got a sheet of paper and she wrote on antenatal. She said, "Right, now we've started an antenatal clinic now." So that was the first.
So how did you build it up then?
I took some more friends next time. I said, "Come with me down here, and then as you get further on, they'll measure you and see if your blood pressure's all right." And it's absolutely, well, it was so big at that afterwards that I kind of joined in when I took my own children. I'd stop for the afternoon and help them with it.
Mm.
And then my eldest daughter, when she was a baby, immunisation was just coming out then, again, just against diphtheria. Well, no one knew much about it, so I asked, did they agree with it, Dr. Stevens? And she said, "Yes, it's a marvellous thing, but we haven't got it going here yet." So I said, "Well, what about getting it going here? I'll have Olive injected." So she was the first person in the West Riding of Yorkshire to be immunised against diphtheria, this eldest daughter of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then when she got to be about 7 years of age, her teeth were coming through crooked. Her front teeth were coming wide apart like that, and the space between them. And I took her to a different dentist, the school dentist, and he said, "Oh, they'll be all right. Well, I worried about these teeth and that. Eventually, I took her down to Dr. Stevens again. I said, "I don't like the look of these teeth. She's getting older and they'll never come straight." She said, "Well, I'll give you a note for Leeds Dental Hospital." Well, he was out of work. Not only out of work, he was on the means test. We were only getting about 23 bob a week. He was on the means test. It cost a shilling to go from where we lived to Leeds. At any rate, I took her on the Monday. I got the note on the Thursday at the clinic. I took her on the Monday to Leeds Dental Hospital. And when I got there, a sister saw me, and I waited in this huge, fantastic place, Leeds Dental Hospital. And there was about, 100 dentist chairs in a huge room, and I sat there waiting. And a sister came and fetched my daughter off me when she was about 7 or 8, 7 and a half then. And she didn't bring her back for a long while. Eventually, I went searching for her in a little room right at the end. And when I got there, I found rows of students in, like they are at universities, you know, and the chair in the middle, and a tall chap explaining what had happened to Olive's teeth. Well, I waited, and she brought her back to me eventually, and she said, Professor Reed, the man who was in the room, would like to operate on your daughter next Monday, and while he's got all his postgraduate students here, they're all leaving, and he would like to operate. So she said, will you make arrangements when you go downstairs? And she was a little busy little sister, like a ship in full sail. She hadn't time for anybody. And she said, I said, well, I can't. How much will it be? She said, oh, find out downstairs, I'll tell you. So I went down to the office at the Leeds Dental Hospital, and they said, well, altogether, it'll cost about £50. I said, I can't find it. It took me all my time to find the shilling to get there and back to Leeds Dental Hospital. I can't think of this. And I said, but I would like my daughter's teeth to be straight, a girl, more so than anything else kind of thing. So they said, well, it's up to you to think about it. Well, I went back upstairs again and sat on this form, right, there's a form right down the length of the dental hospital. And I said to the sister, can I see Professor Reed? And she said, no, you can't. You must have an appointment to see Professor Reed. Professor Talmadge Reed, they call him. So I sat there, and it seemed absolutely hopeless to me. I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't. And as I was sat there, there was a dental chair there with a young dentist playing about on a block with some teeth in. And as I was sat thinking it over, he was going, psh, psh, psh. And when I looked up, he says, this is Professor Reed. And walking down was a tall chap, oh, magnificently tall chap he was. Slowly down, he was coming in front of me. So I thought, right, monkey, this is it. So I got up and I said, excuse me, are you Professor Talmadge Reed? He said, yes. I said, well, you've just examined my daughter and you propose doing an operation. He said, yes, I would very much like to. We haven't had a case like this in while I've had all these students and they're all postgraduates. So I said, well, I'm afraid I can't agree for her to be operated, on much as I would like to. I said, I shouldn't have brought her here if I hadn't have been, as I thought, a little bit advanced, because other people didn't bother. But I said, I can't, because my husband's out of work. And he said, well, why didn't someone let me know? Come with me. And he took me down to the office, and she got a form out, there's the girl at the office, and he just wrote across it, urgent, Professor Talmadge Reed. He said, now take that to Wakefield Town Hall, or send it, and I want it back with your daughter next Monday morning. Well, I didn't trust the postage then, so I paid another shilling to go to Wakefield and take this form. And when I got there, it had to be checked and proposed by the West Riding County Council. So I had to wait for a council meeting sitting before anyone would give me the permission to get this operation done, you see. And I said, well, I can't wait. It has to go back again next Monday. Oh, no. A little man there said, no, it's impossible. You must wait till a week on Monday for a council meeting. Oh, I said, this is ridiculous. Well, I had a cousin worked at Wakefield Town Hall. They called him Joe Hill. I said, could I see Mr. Hill then? Joe Hill. He said, yes, I fetched him. And he said, well, I'll take the form in to the chairman of the council and explain it. I said, no, you won't take the form. You take me, I'll take the form. I'm not leaving loose of this form. So we took it in and we argued with this man, and he fetched another couple of councillors or somebody, and between them they decided that, seeing as it had said on urgent, Professor Talmadge Reed, and the date, they'd better do something about it. So they signed it, and I didn't have to pay anything for her teeth being done, and I took her every Thursday for over 3 years to Leeds Dental Hospital, and she had an operation and her teeth brought round and plates on.
And it all worked.
Oh, it's marvellous. She's the only one in the family with good teeth. Marvellous. And it was fantastic.
But you really have to fight for that.
Of course you have to fight. I mean, anyone else, even seeing this chap walking down this, he stood about 6'2", and he was fantastic. And I thought, oh, goodness. Henry, there you go. You can only say no. And the sister nearly tore her hair after. She said, why did you do that? I said, well, it was for my daughter's teeth, and you said I couldn't see him. That's all there is to it. You just do it, don't you?
But getting back to the antenatal clinic, was it in the same premises as the baby's clinic then?
Yes, yes.
I see.
And yes, we just shoot all the truth down.
Yes. I see.
We organised a different day altogether then, you see, and had another doctor and started seeing women who were expecting, and from the same clinic, only about 2 years after, I was, nurse stated, rushed me, while Dr. Stevens asked me if I would go to Leeds Maternity Hospital with a woman who was, came down to the antenatal clinic and immediately started having fits. And so they rushed her to Leeds Maternity Hospital, and luckily I went with her in the ambulance to see her all right, and so I kind of worked my passage there.
But that was all paid for by the local council, was it? Or did you have to raise money?
No, that was through the first council efforts that were ever put through the council. Yes. But it took a long time for clinics to soak into women that they could get free treatment, you see. And not only get free treatment, but as I've always contended, a doctor who sees 50 babies in an afternoon is bound to know what's the matter with the baby when she sees it coming through the door.
Yes.
Far more than your own general practitioner, you see.
Yes, oh yes.
Immediately.
Yes, specialisation.
Of course they do. Yes, they're bound to do. Yeah. And I think they're marvellous things, the clinics.
Yeah.
I
forgot to ask you, your mother worked in the First World War, didn't she?
Yes, she was.
What did she do?
She was in the National Deposit Office. They took all the men, you see.
That's right. But she didn't stay in that after the war.
No, no, she finished, came home and just did ordinary housework. And,
yes, I see.
And was a nuisance in general, didn't
This co-op guild, I really ought to find out more about it, wouldn't I? I mean, it's a thing that women and men join in together.
Yes.
And it's not a single-sex thing.
No.
Okay. And it's an educational thing. It was all educational, you see. The syllabus, every night is an educational thing. They had socials in between, perhaps twice a year or three times a year. But every night, they had every one night a week. They were all educational to someone.
Mm.
Who was interested in it. Beekeeping. A chap used to come talking about beekeeping, didn't he?
So like the Towns Women's Guilds in a way, or
Yes, a similar kind of thing. Yes, yes, they did.
Yes, I see.
They were very interesting. Well, then a year or two ago, there was the suffragette thing.
Yes, I bought this.
Because
you said that women couldn't go into public houses anyway.
Mm, no.
But your father actually had principles.
Oh, definitely, yes. Oh, yeah. He wouldn't go into one if it was... I've been in the avenue with him, and it's been snowing and a blizzard, blowing a blizzard and snowing, and there was the British Legion Club up here, which had a whole lot of old men in, and most of them were from Sheffield, because a lot of people living here are from Sheffield, retired, and they had an old stove in the middle of the room, and there were all old men sat round there from factories at Sheffield, and I used to say, well, go and sit with them and have a drink of lemonade. No, I'm not going in a pub, no.
Devil.
Yes, well, of course, one of his brothers died in Wakefield Asylum through drinking when they lived at Wakefield. I don't know.
But your father was a very respectable man.
He was
decent person.
Yeah,
oh, yes, smart, a smart little man, right up to the very last minute. Yeah. Yes, he was. Very smart. Yeah. Right little.
In fact, your parents were sort of leaders in the local community in a way, were they? I mean, they were sort of...
On the political side, yes. Yeah. Not on the religious side. Not for anything else. Only just the political side of getting things right that were wrong.
He went to Water Church, didn't he?
He started the Spiritualist Church when he used to play... he started going to the Spiritualist when he used to play his violin at Castleford Spiritualist Church for the anniversary. And then he became a Spiritualist just before he died. Mm. Well, he believed in it. He didn't join the chapel, but he believed in it. He believed that there was a life after this, and I don't think he ever. Although he did, he used to go to meetings and come home and tell us what different things had been said to him and all that. But
he played the violin, did he?
Yes.
That was unusual, wasn't it?
No, he tried to struggle with it all his life. His mother and father used to send him up in the attic, and all his brothers, you know, clear out the road with that squawking thing. And his violin, since he died, my eldest daughter wanted it for one of her sons, but her son isn't musical, not musical at all. So I thought, well, it is a shame, this violin laying about here. So I gave it to a friend of mine who lives across the road there, and he teaches the violin to the... youth orchestra. And so now it's one of the boys in the youth orchestra have it. And this year, last year, it went over with the boy to France I'm pleased about that.
What did he do that for? To play in company or to put?
Well, I think at that time they used to go to one another's houses because you hadn't this and the wireless,
yes,
and they used to go and have music evenings. Someone played the piano and somebody sang. You know, you'd seen the pictures of them.
Yeah.
One, the woman, you know, kind of screaming her head off, and the man playing her head in, trying to drown her. And yes, they did that for you. We did it at our house.
Yeah,
we had a piano. Yes, we were a nice little player.
What about temperance society? Did he join a temperance society with your father, or was he?
I don't know. I've never heard him say anything about joining. But actually, the Band of Hope. I joined the Band of Hope.
Did
I signed
you?
There, yes.
Did you?
Although I drink. I signed it. Yeah, I remember signing it at Tinsley. Yes, up at the church school we went, didn't we? Well, I don't know about you, but I did.
Oh,
I've
never
been.
What happened? Was it in school you signed then, or what?
No, you went to a little meeting at night for the Band of Hope, to hope that you wouldn't start drinking, and it was all temperance. Everything they put on was temperance.
Yes.
Literature and everything to save you. Just at a young age, I believe it did good. Anyone knew, but I don't know.
Your parents encouraged you to go to
Yes, definitely, because it was a religious, part of a religious organisation. And of course everything then was the religious, because there was nothing else, was there?
Yeah, that's right.
You only got your entertainment through your
religious
groups.
Well,
there's your
religion, there's the Labour Party, and
that's
the two are mixed up as well
anyway. Yes, yes, they are.
Yes, or the Conservative Party, I suppose.
Yes.
If you wanted that.
Yes.
Yes.
And then my father was just as well wrapped up and no close friends.
Yes.
Do you want to drink a wine? Do you drink?
Well, I do drink,
homemade.
But I won't have it. Homemade wine?
Yes.
Well, now you're talking.
Well, we haven't any other. We can't afford any other.